So what do you mean by bottom of the funnel with the setters?
So bottom of funnel would be like, you know, for us, top of funnel is ice cold. They never heard of us. And we're pretty much bringing awareness. If we get a lead from them, that's great. Like naming a phone number. But even if we just get somebody who didn't know who Ravi Bala or Scaling with Systems was previously, and now they know who we are, we would consider that top of funnel. So that's not always tracked unless you were doing it on YouTube. You have like a cost per view, cost per earn. So then you have middle of funnel, and that would be actually getting, we would define middle of funnel as a lead or a booked call. And then bottom of funnel is blending a little bit more. It would be either a booked call or a sale. So like our bottom of funnel assets would be appointment setters, setting people that came in from middle of funnel or top of funnel. And also our bottom of funnel could be like, we have something we call the red zone request. So my sales team, if they have somebody who's like on the 1 yard line and we want to get this deal in the door and they're like, oh, I don't know, they'll fill out this form and it just shows up as a task for me inside of Asana. And it'll say like, hey, here's this person, here's where they're at, here's what they want, blah, blah, blah. And what I do is I shoot a Loom video where I'm saying, hey, Ryan, like, you know, I love what you're doing with Wealthy Way. You know, I know that you'd like to do this. We can help you doing these three things here. You know, just message back Dom and he'll get you onboarded. And just by the literally 30-second video of me, and I probably do like 20 or 30 of them a month, the deal almost closes every single time because like you're the face of it. Yeah, I'm the face of it. And now they got like a little bit of taste of you and it feels personalized. So that's something I would consider. And I actually don't know a lot of other people do that. I would consider that a bottom of funnel asset that we do.
Yeah. I'm going to take a note of that. If any of you guys, red zone requests, if any
that's
of you guys
exactly
get
what it's called, red zone requests.
If you guys, you know, it's so funny. You just saw us doing a sales meeting up there, right?
Yeah.
Davila, my partner, was actually just telling them that. He's like, if you guys have anyone you can't close,
send them to me.
Send them to me.
Yeah.
That's literally.
But you just have to like at your level, you would just need to systemize a little bit more.
Yeah.
Or you and they wouldn't need they shouldn't be sending every single person.
No, I know.
But if they could do
like, oh man, I can't close.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, oh, they said no. Like it needs to be like a 1 yard liner. And like for me, if it goes to like lower than a 90% close rate after I send the video, then I know that they're not sending me.
They're sending junk.
They're sending junk to me. You know, they're just trying to have me do their job for them. And then I'm like, all right, well then give me some of your commission. You know what I mean? But dude, it's been huge. And it also like they literally fill out a JOT form and it's like their close.io profile link, name, email, phone number. And then it's like, what's their current situation? What's the bottleneck that they have? And they'll usually send a Loom video into me. But it just pops as a Asana task for me to do on a daily basis. Like I have literally a time in my calendar for 15 minutes every day to rip out any of those that are inside of there. And that moves the needle across.
Yeah, that's funny. I mean, I've done it intuitively.
Sure.
Like just...
Random, ad hoc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's never been a process.
I'm obviously a systems guy.
But that probably closes multiple six figures a month for you guys.
Oh, easily. You know, and some of them, like our bigger packages are like, you know, 50 or 60K for the year. And so, and a lot of the times people are paying those bigger packages to get more access to me. So it's also a little bit of a preview of what it would be like to work with me. And most of the time I'll do like a 10 minute video and I'll like just solve the problem of their business on that video based on the information I have. And so then they'll just buy in immediately for it. But yeah, if you systemize it and then give it as a weapon to your sales team and they use it correctly, it could add easily a few six figures a month for the business.
Yeah. Yep. And I think that's one big, so I'll tell you, you know, I called you, I don't know, maybe a few months ago, and we had a conversation about me taking over what I'm doing. So I rebuilt our entire marketing department, sales department, everything rebuilt. I never trained sales or did any of the paid marketing literally up till months ago. So like, I don't even know how we got to where we got. So now I look at it because I get to speak to the smartest people in the world. So, you know, I had Cardone in here 2 weeks ago and I was literally picking his brain about all this stuff and I was picking Jared's brain. They were all here and literally asking him like detailed, minute things like this, especially with Grant in sales.
Yeah,
because he's a savage. But I'm curious how you said, do setters take every call? Like how's your sales team structured?
Yeah. So I think you brought up a good point. I also like to tell people I'm actually, in my opinion, I don't think I'm like the best person in sales ever. Like,
You're clearly a very good marketing guy.
That's what I'm saying. I'm great. And that's why I think that a lot of people, in my personal opinion, I've looked at literally thousands of sales processes and I'll walk through ours in a second. But I think a lot of people rely too heavily. And this is actually where Jeremy Minor and I actually like had a little back and forth, but he's a sales guy, right? So it's like, you know, it would be like me trying to argue with you about paid versus organic.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think a lot of people rely too heavily on salespeople and appointment setters to do the what is marketing's job and not enough of marketing. And in my opinion, marketing is like the most leveraged asset you have. Like you can do YouTube videos, ads, and you could have one person run an entire 7, maybe even 8-figure marketing department, depending on how you had it set it up. You couldn't do that for sales. You need to have multiple human beings. And anytime you do that, it's more complicated.
Marketing's way easier to scale.
It's way more leverage, like 100x more leverage. Yeah, yeah. You know, up until about a year ago, I did all the content and all the ads for our company. Like eventually I wanted to remove myself, but now obviously, like you said, I am a marketer, so I understand, but you know, they say once if you're a hammer,
you handled everything. Like you did the CRM, you did the ad buying.
I did the ad buying, I did the funnel creation, any of the tech, like gluing things together. I have a tech lead that did that, but any of the email blasts, ad buying, content creation. But once I created the piece of content, my editing team would do that.
So how big is the team now?
We have 3 people on the marketing team, and then we have 8 people on the media team.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very similar to me.
Yeah. Still so really lean.
You were basically worth 3 people is what you're saying.
Oh, I was probably worth, because I still-
Five or six.
Yeah, not to do my own horn here, but I probably was, because I still do stuff in the marketing department. But once again, I see that as a high leverage activity
100%.
For me to do for the company.
Yeah, you know? You're still the one creating your own funnels and products.
Exactly.
Nobody can take, just can't hire it out.
Yes.
I realized that too. And I learned that from Cole Gordon. You know, he's been a good buddy of mine, and he's like, bro, like I'm still the CMO.
Yeah.
Like there's just, if anyone's that good, they're doing their own thing.
Yep.
And I was like, that makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah. It's true. And like, if I were to boil down what, like what's on our organizational chart, my responsibility is, culture, product development, and content, like media. And in my opinion, the cool thing about product development is, depending on how you're doing it, like product development can be media as well, which we'll talk about later when we get into like the MRR and like communities and stuff like that. But back to what I was saying, when it comes to our process, the way that we go, it's actually recently changed, as recently as like about 4 months ago. We used to just do ads, video sales letter, book a call, and sale. And then the setters would pretty much, we just called them the in-between guys. Like I had to drop off, then they'd set the, or opt in to drop off, they'd set them. No show to drop off, they'd set them. Demo completed, not close after 60 days, it'd go back into the setter pipeline to try to put them back on the calendar. Now what we do is like, now it's much more focused on marketing. So what I was saying before was that I think marketing should be doing about 90% of the sale. Like if somebody's getting to the sales call and they're not already knowing who you are, what you do, what the product is, et cetera, then for us, our sales will just kick it right back to marketing. They'll say, watch these YouTube videos, et cetera, and not try to force in an hour long call explaining all of that and trying to close the sale. So we have marketing do about 90% of the work for us. And in marketing, we have our organic content do about, I'd say 80% of the work for us. So now the main goal, pretty much our primary thing that we do is we have low ticket funnels for low ticket products that lead into the MRR community. That'll ascend into the high ticket programs. And then we just put out, right now I'm doing 3 videos a week. We're about to start doing 5 YouTube videos a week right now, and short form content. All of that drives to the YouTube channel, and then the YouTube channel sends them to a video sales letter or the low ticket products, and they ascend from there. So I actually took all of what used to be gated behind opt-in pages, et cetera, and now YouTube is really our new marketing team. That's the way I look at it. YouTube is literally our marketing team. And I'm just sending people to YouTube from short form. I'm sending people to YouTube from organic on YouTube. And I'm sending people to YouTube from paid traffic. Even the modules in some of our products are embedded YouTube videos. So that way they're also gonna go back on YouTube again. Because if I had to simple it down for everybody that's listening to this video right now, if you can just get people to consume more of your content before they speak with you, then you're going to have a way easier time to do that, of making sales. And then the most leveraged way, in my personal opinion, to get people to spend more time with you, the most profitable way to do it is going to be YouTube. And so like that's our whole sales process now is around, let's get people to our YouTube channel. And then we'll, in our description, we just have multiple calls to action. We have a quarterly workshop. I'm doing one in Paris in a little bit. We have our VSL for a high ticket funnel. We have a VIP day, similar to golfing with you. Mm-hmm. They do a in-person day with me. And then we have our low ticket products and our subscription service from there as well.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, we're doing the same things as you explain it. We both just came to it in different fashions.
Ways.
Yeah. But it's like, yep, nope, this is the conclusion. Like, people have to consume content of yours. Like, the days of just having ads and nobody knows anything about you, like, good luck.
Watching a video and buy. So it's actually pretty funny. I have a video that, or this video that's going a little viral right now on our Instagram. And it's like, so there's something called the general social survey. It's the longest person-to-person survey trust done in the world. And it shows that right now, in the last 40 years, we're at the lowest point of person-to-person trust in the world. So people just don't trust other people right now. And then it goes, I think, double for when they're seeing an ad, you know? And I was in the sauna yesterday, and this guy was like talking about this, and he's like, dude, he's like, I don't know if I can curse on your thing, but he's like, these freaking Facebook ads, just like anything I see on Facebook ads, anytime I see a Facebook ad, I just think this person's a scammer immediately. And I'm like, well, shit, I'm running Facebook ads, you know?
Yeah.
But I think that sentiment is more and more real. And so once again, I'm not saying don't run ads, because it's still a huge part of what we do. But I think that if you can, instead of making a direct, like, squeeze out the audience as quickly as possible, if you can send them to me, YouTube, or even our low ticket community, like product there, and provide value that way in a really leveraged way. Like, I take 4 hours a week to shoot all six of the YouTube videos. If you do that in a really leveraged way, and you do that for 2, 3, 4, 5 years, I think that's like, that's $100 million plus. I mean, look at what Hormozy did. That's all based off of organic content. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I think too, with, you know, organic, you know, I'm now in year, what year am I in? 2020. Yeah. So I'm in year 5 now of being a content creator, which is crazy to think about. Wait. Yeah. 2020. Yeah. Year 5. So, you know, I'm reaping the rewards from it.
Sure.
And to be honest, I've kind of gotten away from, you know, like, I guess the bread and butter is real estate. Right. And then, you know, here we are talking about digital sales and stuff. And so I've had to evolve my product line to fit kind of like the things I'm talking about and doing. So, like, people don't know, but we have like a new program called Wealthy Business, and it's for general entrepreneurs, right? Like, whether you're an online coach, whether you're a service-based company, I've scaled many different companies that I've started, and it's the same process at the end of the day. But that's one thing as the visionary I've had to think about is like, okay, like, as you're saying, if you want to build a YouTube channel, that's going to be the funnel. You know, if real estate's the main thing you're selling, then real estate should be the thing the YouTube channel is about. And to a degree, then you have a choice as the content creator. You're like, do I only want to talk about real estate forever? The answer is no. So for me, it's like, all right, well, you know, how do I adapt my offerings to what it is people want? And, you know, there's enough demand, like you wanted to learn about content years ago. And so you create products for that. You want, and, you know, now we have that for people who want to learn content. And real estate's still the bread and butter. It's still what I'll always be known for. It's still what's going to probably sell the most for a long time in education. But I wouldn't be surprised if one day it's not.
Yeah.